And the Barrow Trawl comes out. We knew we were a real life chance, and we were hoping for a favourable draw, which we didn't get. Then we just had to deal with it, get on with it, and we done our form pretty quickly. Run the race through many times and come up with the right plan. It was good.
Tell the story about the actual Barry draw on Tuesday. You were upstairs and Trent was downstairs, and you were watching it on your phone and he was watching on the computer. But tell people what actually happened when you were watching it.
Well, his feed must have been a little bit quicker than mine, and watching it, and hear this hell of a kerfuffle downstairs. He's in the feed room. The door went. He had all the feeds mixed up for the afternoon. They all went. The feed room's fine, you know. What's happened down there? Anyway, next thing I see, 21 come out. I don't know what happened.
Because she is his baby, isn't she? Like, we don't often see Trent strapping these days. He's usually giving the instructions or leading the jockey on, but he makes a point. Or he has strapped her previously.
Yeah, he's made sure he's taken her to the races. She can be a little hot, and he knows are pretty good. So it's very important that a strapper can handle, you know, and keep that horse like nice and relaxed.
And the other thing about the actual name... The horse was supposed to be named after the Victoria's Secret model.
Yes.
And the phone autocorrected or something.
No, he misspelled it. He says it autocorrected. I've tried to autocorrect it myself. It doesn't work. he's misspelled it, so it's his fault too.
So it was Dootson and Crows.
Dootson and Crows, yeah.
Well, Hootson sounds pretty good now. Let's go to the race. Let's go to the race and have a look at it. Did you expect her to lead as comfortably and as by far as she did when you put that plan into place?
Look, one of my best mates has got this whiz bang database, and he told me if you want to lead, just go on with it. It's quite simple. And there you go.
Very, very quick. And cross so comfortably.
Toby, had she always shown that sort of brilliant speed prior to racing? Because I know in that trial, prior to her first start, she actually didn't lead that.
Yeah, you're right. What we were mindful of trying to educate her, Harry Mitchell from Yarraman Park, who's got the stallion there, and he told me all the way through. He said, "I'm telling you, the best Iron Invincible is the one you can get to relax and find the line. They train on better for you." And so we're mindful of that, knowing she was quite sharp. So we tried to write a quiet trial and she finished off nicely. It's just unfortunate. Two starts she's had, she's just began so brilliantly prior to yesterday. And that's where she's ended up.
And the barrier forced her again.
The barrier forced her hand again yesterday. So I just hope she doesn't turn into a one-dimensional filly, but she can be ridden from back.
That is nearly a carbon copy of what she did a week beforehand here. The way she crossed. Jeff turned for home, four or five off the fence. But had he not been as kind to her a week ago, what do you think she would have been like? Because she was spent probably at 50 metre mark yesterday.
She'd had enough yesterday, you know, and we're getting towards the end of a campaign, you know, yesterday's grand final day, and she knows, you know, she knew she was in a race yesterday. She was dusted after it. But Jeff said she sort of... Really grabbed hold of the bridle yesterday and ran through it. So probably took a finish away from it a little bit.
How did you go about finding her?
When I worked for Paternak in 2010, we had the mare there. I'd come up here to run the Queensland stable across the road. And there was the mare set to unleash there. And all the track riders were telling me, "Geez, this thing can fly. It's a really sharp horse, you know, and quite unsound. She only won a maiden at Sunny Coast, but the pedigree was quite sound. First foul out of the mare was by one more number, I think it wasn't much good, and we sent this filly at the sale by Dominant Sire, and she was a great type, good walker, just had a bit of something about her, so we bought her.
And you did know a little bit about Iron Invincible, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I didn't have him for long, but we bought him as a yearling. Won his first start at Warwick Farm, Tyaglen Road, he won by seven, I think, and then a bit unlucky in the Kindergarten Stakes behind Forensics. He got taken on in front, actually gave a good kick that day, and Forensics running down. And he was He's a better sire than he was a racehorse. He's probably, you know, I think now, you look back, you know, he's a great sire. Probably wasn't quite as good a racehorse.
A revelation.
Noel Leckie, who's got the mum, texted me last night. He said, I'm doing two things tomorrow. He said, I'm taking her down to Yarraman Park because there's too many brown snakes at my joint. And I'm ringing the insurance company.
Absolutely. Wouldn't you what?
What a good mum she is. What a good mum. The Golden Slipper. What do you think about that now?
Oh, it's pretty tight now. We've got 9 weeks from yesterday. She's out at our farm. She'll have 2 weeks out there. We're putting a treadmill in out there, so we'll keep her ticking over somewhat out there, and she'll head to Sydney and run in the Riesling, I think. And if she gets through, if she's going okay, you know, if she's not handling at all, we'll spell her and start again.
Your gut feeling is she'll come through?
Yeah, I think so. She was out there yesterday afternoon, belting around the paddock, you know, and head down in the grass. She was dusted here, but when I got her home, she was fine.
She's looking to a capitalist. Yeah, that's right. It's only been done 3 times, isn't it? 3 times. Dance here, feeling ready. Capitalist. Now favourite.
Well, funnily enough, there was one bet on her yesterday of $10,000 at $15, and that was around about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So that punter's now feeling a lot happier themselves. Says she sits there as the favourite at the moment as a $6 chance. She will reign second pick at eight. Chauffeur and Gerald, I think their first reaction yesterday was more size than Slipper. Khan, I think, will find trials next week for the Snowden. They're both $11. Invincible Star and Jorda. Jordan's only had the one run for Godolphin, winning at Randwick. Medinity, who went well enough yesterday, and Trekkie. That's the sort of first page of the Golden Slipper. But, you know, always a situation with the Slipper. If something jumps out of the book in the next, you know, week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, they'll be right up near the top of the Slipper market.
Let's talk about the jockey. How does a 55-year-old to be seen to be right, and we didn't see him in probably the best part of his career when he was riding all those winners in South Africa. How does a 55-year-old come back from a stroke and be riding at the top of his game like he is? It's remarkable.
Oh, yeah, look, it's... Like I'm 51, I'd have to try and do what he's going to do. No, honestly, he's just an unbelievable guy, you know. His work ethic's good. He's very, very good at his form. I think that's where he beats mate. Why he's so dominant here. He's finds the right part of the track every time, you know, and on the right horses now,
it's obviously good teamwork too, isn't it? With you and him.
He comes in rides not a lot of work. Rides work, you know. Rides gallops Tuesdays and Saturdays, and he takes an interest in the stable. He comes back over the stables and has a look, and brings his boys in. His boys are going to start riding shortly, and they're a great family.
Well, he walked the track with Nathan Berry 3 years ago, before Nathan won on Unencumbered, and yesterday he was there accepting the trophy as the winning jockey on Hootson in the Magic Millions. Bernie caught up with him yesterday.
Jeff, an outstanding winner this year's Magic Millions. How were you feeling in the barrier?
Yeah, I was a bit anxious. She went down the Star very keen today, which she doesn't usually. She was feeling real good, and I think all the hype and the backup a week apart probably got the better of her today. In saying that, probably adrenaline was really pumping, and she came out full steam and crossed them. I thought after 100 metres, if she comes back to me, it won't be a race. But she over-raced. She didn't really come back to me, so it was an enormous win that she still managed to kick.
And when she did kick at the furlong or at the 300-metre mark, obviously you had a lot of confidence at that stage.
I did. I was happy when she gave me a little bit, and I could feel there was a little bit more. I didn't go for the stick at all on her. I felt she was doing her best. There was nothing left, but she did it hard, she did it tough, and it was an enormous win.
Such a humble man, to receive the Nathan Berry medal then was very moving.
Yeah. Gets to be. He was a great person. Yeah.
Was indeed. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, got to Jeff at the presentation when he recalled Nathan as well.
He's actually got a very awkward look on a horse for a jockey. He's got an up and down.
And that's something he's perfected. Robbie Fradd, you know, the South Africans, they often joke, Robbie will say, you know, when he was young, he used to be able to stand up all the way around. But it's not. It's intentional.
Yeah.
And he's perfected that. And he makes comment that when he gets a horse that he feels doesn't react well to it, he stops doing it. So you will see on occasion, don't you, Tobe, where he doesn't bounce off. But his biggest asset is he's just such a humble man, and he takes great pride in taking all those young riders under his wing and sharing his knowledge.
And he rides so short.
He does.
When he sits on a horse, his legs are seriously tucked up under each other. I've never seen a bloke ride as short here.
Well, he's got to get the bounce.
We've had the pump, and now we've got the bounce. Now, clear something up, because we were discussing it amongst ourselves yesterday, the Toby Edmonds story. Where did you start? When were you in Sydney? When did you come here to Brisbane? Did you go back? Did you come here? You grew up up the road from me, at Maitland.
I was born in Maitland, moved to Scone when I was about 11, I think. Grew up there. Got tied up in horses, basically, from around that age, I suppose. I was always keen going to the stables and that sort of stuff. I'm a mechanic by trade. I had to do an apprenticeship. My dad made me do an apprenticeship. He actually went and got me the job and said, you've got to start in there tomorrow.
Great.
So I had to go and do that. That was good. I can do a grease and oil change if I need to. But I just always loved horses and was always ducking off at lunchtime and smoke go down to the stables. Peter Snowden stables only down the road. I'd get the ute and away I'd go. Always be late back from lunch and smoke. It was a bit of a passion for me, and we've turned it into a career now.
And that was the old White Park track you started at.
Yeah, I started training there in the old White Park track. Mm. Yeah.
And then up here and then back to Sydney?
In 94 we moved here. Bought some horses here. The prize money. In country New South Wales, it was very ordinary back then. So we came here, the price was pretty good at that time. On the coast, and then in 2000 we moved back to Sydney to train privately for Lake Gold, for Drill Thoroughbreds at the time. It was a job for us, so that sort of fitted, and that lasted about three years, and we went out on our own in 2003. And then I got a job with Pat and Atkinson in 2010 to train for Gold Coast, the backing of the Sedgen Hose, been a massive influence on your success here this time. It has, yeah. They come on board, funny enough, Rhys Prefrain's Bill Mitchell when I was a child. He was training for Pete Price to build Mitchell when I was a child. It's pretty close to us, you know, we've done a lot of work out there. And the owners of this filly, did they know each other before they went into it?
Yeah, most of them, they're all stable clients and they've all known each other quite a while. I don't think there's an outsider in this one. I think they're all current, all been current clients for quite a while.
And you've just, for the future, you've invested heavily in a farm about 20 minutes away from here. So that's exciting. We're looking forward to that. We only moved in two days before Christmas, so we haven't got to enjoy it as much as we should yet. A lot of work to do out there, and we had that as our, so I drop off, you know, horses race yesterday, go there for 4 or 5 days, back in sort of Friday over the next, ready to do some work next Saturday. So we'll have a treadmill out there, we'll put some stables in the shed, and it'll be, should complement each other. We'll still have the stable across the road, naturally, and we'll be able to work it that way.
So at 51, you'd say you're on the way.
Look, Brad Trent back with me now for three years. He worked for Darley and Peter Snowden prior to that, and he's been a big influence, a big help for me. Family in your business, you know that they've always got your back and things are getting done properly, so he's a big part of it.
It's not an overnight success. You've been up the top of the tree here for a while. It's only six, 8 weeks ago. You trained 5 winners at the Sunny Coast. The day Jeff rode 7. That must have been, you know, very pleasing to have you know, the number of runners that you do and walk home with five winners in a day.
Yeah, you're right. That was some day. Like, we actually had six runners that day. The other one ran second. So we're a bit stiff, you know, and it's one's next two in a row, the thing that ran second, the amateur. So that was a great day. I was in New Zealand, actually, and I was watching them from there, and the team, they were flying. Done a great job.
You backed up a week later and had three from three there as well.
That's right, yeah. That was another good day.
Good on you, mate. Congratulations. Thanks for coming in this morning. Go and enjoy. Go and celebrate some more and get back to work.
We will. Thanks very much.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have a look at the three-year-old flying Jess, and owner Joe O'Neill's going to join us. Tell me what was ever really special about me all this time. But I believe the world is burning to the ground. Oh well, I guess we're gonna find out. Let's see how far we've come. Let's see how far we've come. Well, I believe it all is coming to an end. Oh well, I guess we're gonna pretend. Let's see how far we've come. Let's see how far we've come. I think it turns to the clock, but I don't really know.
Gavelhouse.com's latest bloodstock auction catalogue is online now. Join us and bid from wherever you are, whether at home, out and about, or on the farm. Hurry, bidding closes this Monday at 7 p.m. Visit gavelhouse.com to start bidding.
It's the Jockeys versus Racing's All-Stars, all for a great cause in the tab.com.au National Jockeys Trust T20 Cricket Match. Join us for Racing's Community Day. Further info, visit njt.org.au.
Dynamic Syndications and Gay Waterhouse offer affordable racehorse ownership.
Dynamic Syndications are my primary syndicators, and I love training for their owners. They buy top quality, sound, athletic and beautiful pedigreed horses. I will be training for them at my Randwick and Flemington stables.
We invite you to join our Dynamic Gay Waterhouse team. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999.
Hey, perfect timing. Hey, nice to see you,
buddy.
Hi.
Oh, who's a good boy? Oh, hang on. No dog germs in my food. I reckon they're about cooked. Hang on, I better check. 75 degrees for chicken snags. Don't want anyone getting sick. Am I the king of the barbie or what?
I think a lot of people came to the races yesterday. If they wanted to see one horse, it might have been Winning Rupert, because he's got that five in a row. He's got that appeal, and he was $1.50. He was expected to win, but there was a party spoiler. There was a party spoiler at 100-1. Has there been a 100-1 winner of a Magic Millions race?
Well, historically, the three-year-old does have a history of having long price winners. I don't think it's been 100-1, but unlike the two-year-old, they are often long prime.
I know they're allowed to win when they're 100-1.
Again, I'm not saying that, but when I interviewed this bloke at the end here, Joe O'Neill, his summation after the race, I thought he was talking about twos on favourite. That's how confident you were, Joe.
Well, mate, things fell into place. I mean, we brought the filly up here about 12 days ago, and she settled in really well, and her work was excellent, and she just got better and better in herself, and her coat tidied right up. And I went and had a look at her at 5 o'clock yesterday morning, and she was just gleaming. And I thought, this is great. But we galloped here the other morning on the course proper, and I got here just before the gallop. I thought I was going to be late, and I saw a horse galloping up the straight, and I thought, I'd like to own that horse. It was a really good gallop. It went past, but it was mine.
What's that?
Yeah, she really loved the filly, and she's been very unlucky. She hasn't drawn a decent gauge. She drew very bad. She had a bad run. Coming to Melbourne Cup day, she drew the outside and the Sandown in the stakes race, and she ran a really good fourth after being wide the whole way. We brought her up to Canterbury on a sort of stage of her travel, and she ran very well at Canterbury, and she was finishing the work off really well late, and then we gave her plenty of time to get ready for this.
Well, let's have a look at Flying Jess. We'll go back to the start because there was plenty happening, and Bernie winning Rupert, you thought, well, here he goes again, he's going to go to the front, but other jockeys had other intentions.
Yeah, well, we knew Gay's other runner, a bit of Sam, was probably going to soak him up, so they did elect to take a sit on him, and you'll watch, he does, you know, get the head throwing happening. It's not something he's used to. He's used to controlling the race from the front, but I guess they were very wary of the fact that they didn't want to bury him over 1,400 metres, but as it turned out, he was vulnerable anyway.
So he took the sit behind Arbeetson, and then Gay's other runner, Global Glamour, came up, and that's how they settled. So winning Rupert, just sitting one out, one back, running fourth, and looking okay at this stage. Now, Jay, you're back. What are you thinking?
We were pretty happy where we were. The other day at the barrier draw, Mike Tindall threw out barrier five, and we let out an almighty cheer because he wanted to get out of barrier four or five. And it's the only time in my life I've ever been fond of an English rugby player. So we drew the right gate, and when Global Glamour drew the outside and Gay's other horse came into the race, we knew we were pretty confident that they'd go up and put pressure on winning Rupert. And we said to Ty England, we booked Ty specifically, we wanted a really strong rider over the last 200, and we just said, just have her where she's comfortable, three or four lengths off them, and in the straight, just ride her hard because she'll be really strong late. And as it turned out, it panned out beautifully, and it was an A grade ride from Ty, and we were very, very happy when she hit the line.
Weren't you what?
We weren't. You look great in the paper this morning too.
Yeah, it's not a bad look.
Glenn, it was actually a loser for you, which isn't hard to understand because you only have to have a little on to get a lot back at that sort of a price. But straight out betting, she was a loser for the tab.
Yeah, she was, Greg. She was a winner, but that was all the multis rolling in, because there was a stack of multis that were rolling into winning Rupert, and that's the only reason we won on the race. She was actually a hundreds on Tuesday. She was $61 on Friday and got back to 101 yesterday morning and SP'd $81 with us. And I know that you've been chipping away at her for a few weeks, only because you told everyone.
Yeah, no, what I did is when the markets went up, I just had a look and see, I put you about 15 to 1, and when she was 60 to 1, so I said 25 each way, and then every couple of days I looked at another 10 each way, 20 each way. I got the 100 yesterday, but you know, for a few dollars each way, but when you've got that sort of a price and you chip away, it's amazing how it can build up.
Tell you what, you talk about jockeys and you wanted a strong jockey. He wasn't looking strong after he got off Madotti. He was spent tight. I've never seen so many jockeys go through hell yesterday. They were doing it so tough. Like Ty, to get down to 55, he's struggling. And on a hot day like that, you can't get the fluids into you. It was a really tough day for every single jockey in that room. And by the way, there were 40 of them, and they couldn't even fit them all in the room.
The aircon wasn't working, I believe, in the jockey's room. So they were, you know, having trouble.
I don't know how they did it.
Well, he pulled the pin on Perfect Air, who got beat, you know, that far, and he probably then said, what have I done here? You know, up he bobs, and he said, I've got to go and punch around this 100-to-1 chance in the next, you know.
Tell us about your trainer, John Maloney, from a famous family.
His father trained him, and I've known John since we moved to Melbourne about 15 years ago, when Billy Mitchell moved here, and I moved down with him, and he was in Caulfield. Very, very good family, Maloney's, and my daughter Kate, he went to school with Gabby, his daughter, and they're best friends. I've been wanting to have a horse at Caulfield for a while because I live down at Bay Morris. I'm not far from Caulfield. And I looked at John's results, and I thought, I kept watching him get good results with averagely bred horses. And he's a very good trainer of fillies. So a couple of years ago, I thought, no, I'll get a horse for Caulfield. I had a few clients around. Gary Harding, a good mate of mine, came into the horse. He said, I'd love to have a horse at Caulfield. So I looked around, so I looked at the trainers, and I thought, I'll give John a go. He's a decent bloke. I bought him with Spilly, the first one I bought him. And he's done. He's only got 25 horses in work. He's a very quiet man, very meticulous in the way he does things. His brother Jared helps him, and it's a really strong family business. And I've just been really pleased with him. I bought him a lovely filly last night. It's worth putting on an invisible filly for 220,000, and I think we'll probably put that together pretty quickly with him from this horse. But he's the planning for this. We started the plan this after she won the size produce in South Australia. We said we might have a go at the 1,000 guineas. If she's not good enough, we'll back off. And this race was the one that we targeted. After a couple of runs leading to the 1,000 guineas, she just wasn't quite ready. We sent her to Yarraman Park in the winter to spell, and which we sent her Puss and Eagle there, and also my Invincible Al. They all came back in great shape. But Harry Mitchell, he's a bit of a wizard. Harry, he sent them back. And then we just took it from there. When we decided to back off in the 1,000 guineas, we then sat down and we were at Flemington. And from there, here she is winning the race. And it was a plan that just fell into place. I kept saying to John, it's going too well. And to get Ty England in the end, because we had let Bretton Rider in Sydney, and he had the other booking with Ecclestone. And so I said, we've got to get a strong rider. And we looked at him, and I rang Ty's manager up, and he took the rights.
You just mentioned you paid 200,000 last night, but you are traditionally a low-end buyer.
I had seven runners here yesterday at the Gold Coast, and they cost $435,000 for the seven, and they all ran really well. I mean, Puss and Eagle was in the last, he just never got on the track. And a man came from 18 lengths off and ran home strongly. Mazzo ran second, and Aranjo ran fourth. So it was a pretty good day for us, And I think if you buy really nice horses, like good confirmation from good families, from out of running sort of families, it can't really go wrong. Well, yeah, obviously there's lots to go wrong, but we've had enormous success buying from good farms. And I thought yesterday to have seven runners here was quite exceptional.
But you also had runners at Flemington, you had runners at Randwick, you had runners at Kembla. Where else?
That's it, mate.
How many horses have you got on the books?
I've got about 45 racehorses. We've got about 25
at one time. And they're all large syndicates?
Some are. I mean, Huss and Eagle's not as big because one of my clients is not half the horse. But we have varying sizes. I mean, our business was built on small people. And we've still got our first client in 1997. And yesterday he was in Mazzo, but that second year. So, yeah, it's all good. I get a lot of enjoyment out of that. I've got friends, Peter Smith, who's a great mate of mine, had a horse here yesterday. He's been a mate of mine for 30 years. And it's a lot of fun.
It was a big day. You love the Magic Millions, and you're back there buying last night. You'll be back up here with another seven or eight runners.
But one can only hope. I bought my first horse at Magic Millions in 20 years ago, a thing called Dude and Dan, which was a horse we paid $15,000 for by Snardy. And 20 sales later, we've come back, and I think we spent $1.3 million. So it's been a great journey. I'm a big fan of Magic Millions. I mean, Jerry and Katie do a fabulous job, and they promote that industry probably better than anybody else in Australia. And the team at Magic Millions, it's a great group of people we work with.
Good on you, Joe. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Great.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Good on you. Let's go to a break. We'll come back and look at the rest of the meetings.
Is a rap artist of a different kind, 100% tender Aussie chicken with a hit of jalapeno and a kick of spicy mayo. New jalapeno chicken McWrap sounds tasty.
The Sydney Carnival, writing Australian racing history for over 150 years. Buy your 6-day Golden Carnival pass for only $30. Visit theatc.com.au.
Race Exchange is the revolutionary new way for everyone to be involved in racing by sharing ownership between breeders and owners. For under $8 a day, your 5% share gives you all owner privileges. Be a part of racing. Join us at Horse Exchange.
There's a positive colour, there's a positive spirit around the ground.
This is the kind of event that can really bring a club together.
My auntie was actually assisted by one of the breast care nurses with the McGrath Foundation, so any help, no matter how small or how big it is, it's very important.
It's a crack. It's great fun. You know, you get to wear some funky stuff and do some fundraising, hopefully.
It's a great way to bring the community together and support a great cause.
Love a bet, then we bet you'll love this. We've got jackpots and specials coming your way every week. Check out tab.com.au to see what's on offer and place a bet you'll never forget. Tab, we love a bet.
And
okay, let's go back and have a look at some of the other feature races on the day. We'll go back to race number three. This is the Open, the Cutis Open, and it was a win by Madotti. Matty Dunn is a real rising star in the training ranks. We've seen him come down to Sydney and dominate these highway races. Coming towards the home turn, Damien Brown decided to take off on Miss Cover Girl, but Ty didn't want to go with him.
And that's a particularly difficult spot for a horse to be in. You know, she's been rattled up to lead as it is because she was formerly a back mark of this little filly as a 2 and 3 year old. So to have that, you know, haunting sort of horse outside you and to have to wait for them to go around you. So she's done an extraordinary job. I really think in his stride where he gets that check, just held up behind Pat Duff's horse there. When he gets out, he flies late. So he was a super race. He's probably pretty unlucky not to win, really.
No doubt. Really, really storming home at the finish. But it was a big day for the Dunn stable. Once again in the home straight here, Damien Brown. He just coming around the home turn, you think Damien Brown, good rider, he must think he's going all right. And for a fleeting moment, you thought she might have been able to pinch it, but she got tired late. Madotti, too good for them. Kira Dunn, I caught up with, Maddie's wife, and also the winning jockey, Ty Anglin, who was tired after this.
Well done, Madotti. $1 million race.
I've got no word to speak because she's just amazing. Here's a 2 year old, here's a 3 year old, and keep playing.
Now, you've been winning highways left, right, and centre in Sydney, but this is the biggest win for the stable by a long way.
Brings tears to my eyes.
A brave Miss Cover Girl went past you, but he didn't panic.
Look, I don't know how he ended up bleeding, but you've got a great jock on like Ty and put more than the
arm. Well done, Ty. You didn't really worry when Miss Cover Girl went past you so quickly.
If I went with her, I would have been off the bridle way too early. I wasn't ideal, but I just had to take it.
Okay, fourth in the Magic Millions 2 year old, sixth in the 3 year old Guineas, and finally is rewarded with $1 million race.
Yeah, and look, she used to be a genuine back marker. She was sort of a spindly 2 year old that always had the frame there, but sort of was a light looking girl, really furnished up now. And I think the revelation with her has been getting her to use the speed that she's got now. She used to be back in the ruck and getting all sorts of bad interference, always unlucky.
Never really run a bad race a whole lot.
Never.
Now, there was always some drama whether Stratum Star will win at 2,200 metres. The punters on track here yesterday with you, they said Stratum Star was the peak.
Well, we said on Thursday night, I said this horse had got a drift because it hadn't had a run for 6 weeks. It's coming from Western Australia. I know it had won a Group 1 race at its last start, but it was going up in distance to a point it had never been before in its life. 6 weeks off, came across to the other side of the country, or 9 weeks off, right? Well, they walked in the enclosing yesterday, set a pivot, sweated up really bad. So there was only four horses in the market. And they just said, when the horses came in the enclosing, went on the track, they said, Stratum Stars.
Stratum Stars.
Yes. $4.80 to $3.40.
Let's go to the replay. He drew Barrier 1 in the Kingston Town and just got the perfect run. That was over 1,800 metres. And yesterday, once again, got a beautiful run. He was able to get off the fence. And the last little bit was going to be interesting. There was a protest here. The second horse, Feltra, protested against the winner, Stratum Star. But 61, 2,200 metres, but class prevailed.
Class prevailed. I think Damien Lane, conscious of the fact that this horse had 61 kilos yesterday and really wanted to give him that uninterrupted run, was happy to glide, you know, off his two-wide position out the three and four-wide, get him out in the best part of the track here and just let him do his stuff. Obviously, Feltra, well, we had that sort of bit of a protest.
Yeah, there was a protest. At the 300-metre mark, Michael Hillier said that Stratum Star drifted out, but he hadn't established a run. He had not established a run to the outside of Stratum Star when that slight shift came. And Darren Weir pointed out in the protest hearing that Stratum Star was holding Feltra anyway. They'd already started the presentation. They were giving out the trophies and then they had to stop because there was a protest going.
It was quite funny because the lady that was hosting the presentation, they said, "Oh, there's a protest."
I don't think she knew what it was.
But you've got to feel sorry for the connections of Feltra. Because one of the gentlemen that owns Feltra also owns Scales of Justice, who's Stratum Star in Western Australia.
Damn that horse.
And he's come to the other side of the country and found him again.
He's sick of the side of Stratum. Yeah, also credit where it's due. Brian Smith with Feltra. I mean, Feltra always looked like a 1,400 metre mile of horse early in his career, and he's been able to slim and streamline this horse down to a real athletic looking sort, and he's run a strong 2,200 yesterday.
Darren, we had a big day last year winning the three-year-old with Mahuta and also one of the races with Lucky Hustler. Well, he was at it again yesterday, and here he is after the race.
Well done, Damien. $2 million races in two starts.
Yeah, he's a super horse, isn't he? He's ultra consistent and come up for 45, they break up the 2,200. I don't think anyone other than Darren Weir could have done it, so super training performance.
Did you have any doubts he could stay 22?
Oh, you always got to have your doubt when they never tried. I was confident he would run it.
Thank you. You like this day?
It's been good to us, mate. It's been a great day's racing, and thanks, money mate. It's been great, and been lucky enough to bring the right horses, I guess. It was a great ride, that horse helped overcome the 61 kilos and the doubt of 2,200, I guess.
It takes the right horse to travel back from Perth and then come up here to this heat.
He's a great horse to train. He's got the best attitude. He's very sound and he loves doing a lot of work. And Jared and the crew down home, they do a great job of looking after him. Travelled up here, ate all his feed, drank buckets of water, and he's just the perfect horse.
So just how much of a doubt in your mind that 61 over 22 would be an issue?
The 22 was the worry. Carrying the weight didn't worry me because he's such a big, strong horse. But the 2,200, if it was 2,000, I would have been really confident because I thought the way he ran at Perth, he needed 2,000. But obviously, that extra 200 is a long way.
He held on. Well done.
It was great. Thanks.
Darren Weir gave that horse two trials leading up to the Group 1 Kingston Town. He gave him one and then thought, no, he needs more. So they trialled him again. Two trials in the space of 3 weeks leading up to the Kingston Town. So same trick, but this time closer together. In the lead up to this race, Darren Weir gave him two trials in one day at Camperdown. Trialled him in the first trial and then went round after the last.
But they've also mastered how to bring a horse into state. Now you miss the play. He's done it 2 years in a row and managed to win one of the major races here by missing the plane and getting here a day late.
All right, a break and then more action from Magic Millions Day.
For the ultimate racing experience, turning your dreams into reality. Now on offer an outstanding colt by Boom Sire Schnitzel. Sire of Seamus Awards, Schnitzeland, and our very own Time for War. This sensationally conformed colt is a full brother to six winners. To be trained by the First Lady of Racing, Gay Waterhouse, this powerful colt looks a ready-made two-year-old. Join the Group 1 winning syndicators. For more information, visit derbyracing.com.au for the ultimate racing experience.
It's all happening for the Kiwis here today. They took the Brisbane Cup and now they take the JJ Atkins with Sacred Elixir.
And it's the Kiwis again. Provocative has won the Oaks by 3 lengths.
Kiwis have plundered the Derby and the Oaks. It's all about the Kiwis and the three-year-old staying ranks.
Have a go for New Zealand's getting a great sight. But Lucia Valentina, what a slashing win in the Queen Elizabeth.
What a bonnie New Zealander she is, a little Sophia Rosa.
There's no stopping Sky Racing Tipsters. Mark Guest tips another trademark exotic.
Volpe hit the lead now. Cindercone on the outside, making him earn it. Cindercone going to Volpe. It's finishing too well, Cindercone.
Guesty hits the mark with big results week after week.
Hidden in Heaven goes to Platinum Tycoon. That's a win. Chinatown's coming out of Sabo West. Chinatown, Chinatown.
Winning tips for Sky Racing Funders.
I can't stop the feeling. So just dance, dance, dance. So just dance, dance, dance. Ooh, something magical. It's in the air, it's in my blood, it's rushing on.
Okay, this next segment is the Warwick Farm segment because it's Greg Hickman and Gary Portelli trained horses winning on the Gold Coast yesterday. Let's go straight to Private Secretary's win. She has been unlucky not to pick up a big race until now. There she is, stone motherless last, not doing a lot, going to run a night 12th, and she stormed.
Yeah, just cruising to the outside. Her turn of foot is electrifying, isn't it? And she really put that riding on the wall at Eagle Farm at a last start behind Elegant Composure. Her sectionals there must have been outstanding, as they would have been again yesterday. So just the best horse in the race and got that lovely swoop run.
She's still going to miss out here.
Turns the tables on Zalady.
She's got such a big finish, and it's been very frustrating for the owners. I mean, she's been a good money spinner. They've been collecting checks along the way. She's been to Adelaide and Melbourne and up here.
But that elusive win, that big race win, finally yesterday, and she's always been noted as a mad fresh horse. She's won three races first up, three races second up of the seven races she won before yesterday. And one of those horses that Greg Hickman loves because he can cart around. She doesn't have to run.
She got replayed before the race, stood there as quiet as a lamb.
Have you ever seen a horse stand there that quiet? That was extraordinary. She was like, do my nails.
Yeah. She blew up about the sort of shoes. You know, typical woman wanted a different pair of shoes.
Almost got a hickey crying here. I just missed out. He straightened up and he got composed. He's Greg Hickman.
It's been hard luck tail after hard luck tail.
She deserves this.
What were you thinking first of all behind the gate? She was standing there as quiet as a lamb, but you don't want to be reshod behind the gate.
I thought that was in our advantage. The others had been there, and I thought that was a little bit to our advantage. I was more worried when he was back last and he sort of edged along and she wasn't sort of picking up a bit and then pulled it outside and she hit the line super.
When could you feel her starting to pick up? When did you start to get a bit excited after probably feeling pretty low at the home turn?
Can't really remember, to be honest, but I just know when the other people cheered and thought they'd won and then we looked at the replay and I thought it was dumb. Easy decision.
It's a nice way to break back into the winners list in $1 million race, isn't it?
I just think it's mare just deserves it. I mean, I've always thought she was a very good horse. And to have your first horse win $1 million, but this doesn't happen every day.
And you've been around Australia trying to pick the right races and get the right result, but it just hasn't happened.
100%.
But it has up here.
Certainly.
Is that the lucky tie?
This is lucky tie, yes.
Good on you, mate. You're going to enjoy it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a, every race was exciting yesterday, and there was a lot of emotion. Let's go to Test of Shadows win now, and Gary Portelli, another Warwick Farm trainer, Test of Shadow. The secret to this horse has been the girls. It was Sam Clinton, first of all, and now Deanne Pannier. And when we picked them up coming around the home turn, Test of Shadow sitting behind those leaders and very strong. Gary Portelli had no idea he won. It still hadn't sunk in after the race. He thought he ran fourth. The biggest finish of the day.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah, it was huge. You know, six inches between four of them. She rode this horse absolutely beautiful. Obviously, the speed was a cracker with Strawberry Boy and Monsieur Gustave, and she just got the perfect trail, left alone, nothing even around her in the run there. And it's been, I think that's, you know, been the key in the end. She's been able to get enough out of this horse to narrowly hang on from perfect air. But Gary Portelli's always been a great stickler for girl riders.
Yep, well, it works on Test of Shadow. Here he was after the race.
Young lady, you have just won a million dollar race.
Yeah, that's great. I actually wasn't quite sure whether we got her or not, because a few horses sort of started to catch us there, and there was a hot head bobber. So I have to have a look.
Just kept fighting.
Yeah, he did. He goes good fresh. And Gary Portelli's done a super job to get him ready. Make him travel up here and recover really well. Be ready to go for a race.
Well done, Gaz. This has been a wonderful six months or so.
I can't believe it, mate, honestly. I've got a fantastic team at home. They do a great job. They know who they are at home, guys. I'm here because of you guys. We've got nice horses, elite thoroughbreds, been a great backer of mine. We've had a great time up here with horses over the past. This horse ran second to Guineas a couple of years ago. It was a bit lucky last year. Look, I've got to say a big shout out to Jeff Smallman back at home. She's suffering with cervical cancer at the moment. We've got the colours on the day, foundation. I'm a bit emotional now. She's a lovely lady, this is for you.
Gary, what is it with the girls and this horse? Because it was Sam Clinton first and now the end.
I've got to say a special thanks to Sam as well. For a long time, this horse was a non-winner. He kept missing the start by five, six lengths, and he was almost getting barred from racing. Sam got on him, and she had a bond with the horse, and she got him winning. Unfortunately, she had a couple of falls when this horse was ready to race. Deanne's had a great association with the horse since. It's been a great turnaround. To win $1 million race, it's just, you know. Early on, I was up and coming, training all the good horses, and then things got a bit stale, and things didn't go right, and we got a lot of horses that obviously weren't good enough. And now we've got a good team of horses, I've had a lot to do with elite thoroughbreds. We helped select horses together, and we bought some nice horses. And this horse was a $50,000 horse. And look at him now, you know, he's just a great horse to us.
All right, we're going to take a break, more to look at, and also the sales with Vincox coming up. Stay with us.
Grilled to perfection, caramelized onions, and smoky chipotle sauce. Drop the mic, Mike. New Chipotle Steak McWrap. Sounds tasty.
Horse Exchange is the revolutionary new way for everyone to be involved in racing by sharing ownership between breeders and owners. For under $8 a day, your 5% share gives you all owner privileges. Be a part of racing. Join us at Horse Exchange.
The opening leg of the quaddie here at Eagle Farm is about to get underway. It's a fat quaddie today. I've had to sort of go a little bit wide here. Put all four selections in.
River Fire still the leader from Son of Justice. River Fire's in front, and River Fire, Sorority Sister on the outside. Sector Star's in front. She's getting tied. Flashing home on the outside is Sorority Sister.
Race number seven. Time to Talk number seven. Very good fresh. Three goes fresh for two wins.
Bursting through is Time to Talk. Time to Talk over the top. Time to Talk's one.
Welcome back to Eagle Farm for the last race. So our quaddie numbers, we've got some 1, 4, 9, 11. If one of them gets up...
Gates open racing now. There's Chevelle Levant out three wide going forward. And Chevelle Levant, he's airborne. He goes all the way.
Somebody out there in television land may have had something on the quaddie. If you did get the quaddie there, congratulations to you. $18,433. Wouldn't mind even 10% that. I usually have a quaddie, folks, but you know what?
didn't have it today.
That was Capitalist last year. Let's see if Hootson can do it again this year and win a golden slip off the back of the Magic Millions. Day started here with Ajani winning, been gelded before its return to racing for the Snowdens and Blake Shin. They went back-to-back maidens after Wolf Cry won last year. And then Irish Constabulary, an eight-year-old, won the second race. It spent 5 years in a paddock before it raced. A remarkable story for John and John Simons and Sheila Laxton. Another remarkable story to the last, Target Inside. It bled, got a three-month ban. It bled in the QDC Cup here in the winter. Came back yesterday for Joey Pride off the back of, what was it, three trials? I suppose you've got to make sure they're right. And Target Insight took out the last race yesterday after that bleeding attack. And he was strong.
He was strong. He obviously has great fresh form anyway. He probably settled a little bit further back than what I anticipated from his good gait. And I think that, you know, the three trials, they knew they were coming to hot conditions. Here they want to have him well and truly ready to rumble. So brilliant ride there by Brett Nebdella. Fedora. Lloyd Kennywell was pretty upset when they went past the post, but he got used to it after a little bit of settled down there. And obviously Mert the Flirt. Was it you that was tipping Mert the Flirt?
Oh no, only because we've had a terrible week with people passing away in racing, and a lot of the people that have been involved with horses, their horses have run that well during the week, and it tends to happen. I know when Dad died a long while ago. There was a horse running around in the country called Munsey, and it won the week after he died. You know, we had Graham Spackman died during the weekend, and Tash Burley had a runner at Nowran at one. We had Mert the Flirt run well yesterday. Ronnie, of course, his wife Margaret passed away this day last week. He had a horse was narrowly beaten at Canterbury during the weekend, and it does tend to happen.
Joe Pride was with me after the last.
He's come back, after that bleeding attack. How have you got into the day today?
Look, it's been a long, steady preparation. I gave him the three trials. They've all been really good, actually, the trials. Sort of left Brenton on for all those trials. I was a little bit nervous about the barrier today because obviously the inside's the place to be, but it's an absolute 10 out of 10 ride. Now, a lot of work's gone into this from the guys back at home, and a big thanks to them. It's fantastic when it all comes together.
And he's lethal fresh, Joe.
He is very good at swimming. That's why we just decided this was the race first up for him. He's a horse, obviously, is in the twilight of his career now, but to win the best race he's ever won at this age and after this many starts, fantastic. We're very happy.
There'll be a few black battlers amongst this lot, wouldn't there?
They're pretty happy battlers, though, aren't they? So maybe they're not battlers anymore, but no, really happy. Great result and fantastic team effort, as I said.
Well done, Joey.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll come back with Vin Cox from Magic Millions after a break, and we'll have a look at the sales and wrap things up here from the coast.
Australia's pride and joy, and the world's greatest on turf. See the return of Superstar Winx live this Tuesday at the Rosehill Trials. Unbeaten in her last 13 starts, what will Winx accomplish this autumn campaign? It all begins Tuesday, live in HD on Sky Thoroughbred Central.
The opening leg of the quaddie here at Eagle Farm is about to get underway. It's a fat quaddie today. I've had to sort of go a little bit wide here. Put all four selections in.
River Fire still the leader from Son of Justice. River Fire's in front, and River Fire, Sorority's sister on the outside. Sector Star's in front, she's getting tired. Flashing home on the outside is Sorority's sister.
Race number seven, time to talk number seven. Very good fresh, three goes fresh for two wins.
Bursting through, it's time to talk. Time to talk over the top. Time to talk's one.
Welcome back to Eagle Farm for the last race. So our quaddy numbers, we've got 1, 4, 9, 11. If one of them gets up...
Gates open, racing now. There's Chevelle Levant out three wide going forward. And Chevelle Levant, he's airborne. He goes all the way.
Somebody out there in television land may have had something on the quaddy. If you did get the quaddy there, congratulations to you. $18,433. Wouldn't mind even 10% that. I usually have a quaddy, folks, but you know what? Didn't have it today.
Welcome back to the Gold Coast, just across the road, behind the grandstand here, the Magic Millions sales complex. It's been pretty big. It's
been huge, Greg.
Busy?
Huge. I find this week even bigger than Winter Carnival.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is, because there's more people.
And you've got the culmination of the sales and the parties and the racing. Vin's a big party man.
Yeah, Vin Cox is, I think, you're ready for a holiday, aren't you?
I'm looking forward to next week, Greg. Yes, very much.
It's a big build-up. It goes for a long time, and then it all goes bang.
Yeah, it's just so intense. I mean, we started a week ago today with the Pacific Fair Magic Millions Polo, which went off very well, and it's been just building up ever since then, and the culmination of yesterday's race day, which was just wonderful. Sale again last night, and another sale again today. So it's full on.
Give us your overview of the sale.
Oh, look, it's been just a wonderful few days. We've a gross of 134 million, or just north of it, an average of 207,000, and a clearance of 87%. We're just that excited about how it went. The breeders supported us exceptionally well with a very high quality bunch of horses, and that allowed us to promote far and wide. To attract a very good buying bench, and they stepped into it.
Vin, something that I've never seen before at a sale, a lot of the really big names teaming up with each other to buy in conjunction with each other. Now, do you think that stopped a lot of the really top prices being brought?
Potentially, but there's always other groups as well. It's a trend the world over. If you're watching the sales in North America last year, the bigger groups were getting together and teaming up and teeing off on the big horses, and as a result, they were stymied to how far they could go. They couldn't go right in that stratosphere. So, look, I mean, it's a lot of money to tip out on horses, so they get together, and while they might spend the same amount of money, it's spread across a few more horses. So the money ends up in the ring, but just across more horses.
Let's go to some of the top lots. This is the More Than Ready. Gay Water House and Adrian Bott purchase for 1.3, lot 339.
Yeah, this is a brother to Sebring, and George Altamonte, who bred this horse as well as Sebring, was good enough to give us this colt. I mean, he's a high quality animal, and to get a full brother to a slipper winner who's now a champion size, a great coup for Magic Millions. And I think Gay was fairly determined to get him. Whoever kept going with him, though, she was going to go again. The underbidders were Spencer Farm. They've got their operation in Victoria, and they're a major operation in America. They bid on a lot of big horses and only took one away at 500,000. So they were, you know, they were punching well above, well, not so much above their weight, but they were certainly punching hard, but only landed the one.
Well, James Harron, we expected him to be very active again. The Magic Millions has been good to him and his clients.
Absolutely.
And he was at it again.
Yeah, no, well, he's, you know, his record speaks for itself. And here he's identified a Reduce Choice colt. Reduce Choice at the end of his day is probably the best sire in the country. He gets colts, he gets fillies, he's a sire of sires, and this colt clearly much admired, and 1.3, which is more than he normally pays, but he's a fine judge, and if he's anywhere near as good as Capitalist, he'll be a very good horse and a hot commodity.
And they went to 1.2 last night for a Fastnet Rock.
Yeah, a Fastnet Rock filly owned by Spendthrift Farm. They were here a couple of years ago, the Teely Dispersal. And Barbara Banky, who was here herself, bought this mare, mother of Miracles of Life, sent her to Fastnet Rock. Coolmore raised her, so they obviously knew her history, and then bought her for 1.2 million. So the underbidders was Robbie Lang and his clients. It was quite exciting, quite good theatre. And amongst those clients were, they were friendly with Rachel Griffiths, so she was in amongst the bidding as well. It was quite exciting to see.
While all this is all glamorous and the 1.3 and the 1.2s, and they gain the headlines. As Glenn said yesterday, we watched these syndicates out here in the mounting yard winning with Flying Jess and Target in sight.
Hootson,
$105,000 purchase.
Yesterday I thought at the race day was just a seriously relaxed, great fun day. And every presentation you saw, you know, there was yahooing and hoopla and cheering and largely attributed to so many people in those horses. And it's just, you know, Australian racing is in such a good space. We've been hosting a lot of internationals here over the last few days, and they are in awe of the cut through that racing has and the fact that we can have syndicates and there's so many people involved in racing. They really take it away and wish they could apply what we've done here and do it in their own jurisdiction.
What about you said it was relaxed here yesterday? You weren't evidently down here at 10 o'clock in the morning eating barbecue.
Well, it was hot, I'll give you that.
So you can have a break now, then you produce another great catalogue for next year. I know you've got sales right throughout the year, but another great catalogue for next year, and then you get the buyers in and you do it all again.
No, it's not quite that easy.
No, I know.
You talked about being relaxed yesterday. It's much the same thing, but no, look, we've got a great platform to step off this year to try and attract even better horses for next year, so we're looking forward to getting into it.
Okay. Thanks, Vin.
Thank you, Greg. Well
done. Now, Thoroughbred Weekly returns. This will be good because I haven't seen this date yet. Duffy and Nick Ashman have. Oh, we're back on the 12th of February. Sunday the 12th of February for Thoroughbred Weekly.